Hello there. Today is Thursday, March 30th. This is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, the Senate prepares for its first open hearing into Russian interference in the U.S. election.
We will always say to you this investigation scope will go wherever the intelligence leads it.
The president takes on the American drug epidemic.
Drug cartels have spread their deadly industry across our nation.
Why the U.S. environmental policy reversals may not be as easy as a signature. Also ahead, the latest news out of Hollywood. It's all on today's International Edition. Well, on the eve of a closely watched public hearings, the Republican chairman and the top Democrat on the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee pledged an exhaustive and impartial probe of Russian meddling into last year's presidential election and any possible collusion by President Trump's inner circle. In a news conference on Wednesday, Republican Senator Richard Burr said there will be at least 20 interviews conducted, including with Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who volunteered to speak with the panel.
We can't say enough what the mission of the Senate committee is, which is to look at all activities that Russia might have taken to alter or influence the 2016 elections in the United States. In addition to that, the mission of the committee is to look at any campaign contacts from either committee with Russian government or Russian government officials that might have influenced in any way, shape, or form the election process.
Neither Burr nor Democratic Senator Mark Warner revealed any conclusions reached so far, except those related to Russia's aims.
An outside foreign adversary effectively sought to hijack our most critical democratic process, the election of a president. And in that process, decided to favor one candidate over another. I can assure you, they didn't do it because it was in the best interest of the American people.
Well, until now, the House Intelligence Committee had taken the lead in the Russia probe, but that committee canceled open hearings this week amid a firestorm surrounding its chair, Republican Representative Devin Nunes, who briefed Trump on classified material he hasn't shared with his committee. Senator Burr said he voted for Trump last November, but denies that any party loyalty will color his work. Even so, a growing number of Democrats say the full truth may never come to light in Republican-controlled legislative committees. Here are some of the stories we're following at voanews.com. Ivanka Trump to become an official White House employee. A petition calls for Melania Trump to move or pay security costs. The U.S. arrests a Turkish banker in Iran's sanctions case. And U.S. senators in a rare bipartisan agreement to maintain a good relationship with Mexico. Find expanded coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. President Trump hosted a listening session on Wednesday at the White House with administration officials, the first step in his pledge to try to stem America's worsening opioid addiction crisis.
Solving the drug crisis will require cooperation across government and across society, including early intervention to keep America's youth off this destructive path.
Trump called the increasing number of Americans addicted to opioids a total epidemic and vowed to stop the spread of drugs across the nation.
We must also focus on prevention and law enforcement, which is why I've issued previous executive actions to strengthen law enforcement and dismantle criminal cartels. Drug cartels have spread their deadly industry across our nation, and the availability of cheap narcotics, some of it comes in cheaper than candy, has devastated our communities. It's really one of the biggest problems our country has.
The listening session included people who've had family members die of drug overdoses, recovering addicts, drug recovery specialists, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, whom Trump has selected to lead the commission. China said Wednesday it's committed to honoring its pledges under the Paris Climate Change Agreement, a day after U.S. President Donald Trump signed a sweeping executive order that would effectively dismantle environmental regulations put in place by his predecessor, Barack Obama.
I am taking historic steps to lift the restrictions on American energy, to reverse government intrusion, and to cancel job-killing regulations.
Well, China's foreign ministry spokesman said combating climate change is a challenge for the entire world, and China will maintain its approach even if other governments change their policies. Here at home, though, advocates say Trump's plans won't be as simple as signing an executive order. Bob Deans is the director of strategic engagement for the Natural Resources Defense Council. First of all, what's the official NRDC response to the executive order?
The president is sacrificing our future for the sake of fossil fuel profits and leaving our children to pay the price. He is walking away from the promise of cleaner, smarter ways to power our prosperity. He is putting our health and the health of the planet at grave and needless risk. And he is walking away from American climate and clean energy leadership around the world and ceding that leadership to China. That's the wrong direction for the country to take, and we're all going to stand up and tell him so.
What does the Natural Resources Defense Council plan as far as any sort of legal action? Are you planning on taking any?
Well, we're going to assess this every step of the way, Lori. And, you know, the Obama administration spent more than 6 years putting this plan together. It had to establish the legal basis, the scientific basis. It processed more than 4 million public comments. And you can't just sweep all that work away with the stroke of a pen. To dismantle this rule, it has to walk back down those same steps that it walked back up. And at each step of the way, the process is contestable. And if we find that the process the Trump administration is undergoing is unlawful, is not based in sound science, doesn't reflect the public interest, we will indeed contest it in court.
Do you currently have any legal challenges to this administration when it comes to environmental policy?
But we do. We have challenged, for example, the unlawful, probably unconstitutional, and certainly arbitrary and capricious edict that two existing regulations be killed for every one new regulation put in place. It makes no sense, Lori. It's like saying we can't cure cancer unless we stop fighting polio and tuberculosis. We live in a complex society, and threats are emerging all the time, and so do the responsible public protections that safeguard us from those threats must emerge as well.
Because clean energy really seems to be the way of the future, that economically speaking, that would be a more viable course to take.
Look, there's no question. The transition to cleaner, smarter ways to power our future is one of the most powerful engines of job growth anywhere in America. Right now, today, more than 3 million Americans will get up, roll up their sleeves, and go to work, helping us to become more efficient so we do more with less waste, helping us to build right here in this country the best hybrid, all-electric, and high-mileage cars anywhere in the world, and helping us to get more clean power, homegrown American power from the wind and the sun. More than 3 million American jobs supported by that clean energy transition. And Lori, this is the economic play of our lifetime because it is a global trend. Globally, more than $7 trillion is going to be invested in clean energy over the next 20 years. We need our workers to be successful in that fast-growing global marketplace. That starts by being successful here at home. The Clean Power Plan promotes that success.
What about these other energy companies that stand to potentially benefit from the rollback? Are they really going to fall behind as well because renewable energy is going to be more desired?
Every corporation, every investor in America has an interest in getting on board with the clean energy revolution, no matter where they stand. But one thing we know for sure, this isn't going to bring back those coal mining jobs that the president talked about, because the Clean Power Plan doesn't even take effect for another 5 years. This industry has laid off 70% of its workforce over just the past three decades. Americans are using 35% less coal than we used 10 years ago. That has nothing to do with the Clean Power Plan. These are market conditions. The president's not going to change those, and it's simply disingenuous, perhaps even cruel, to be trying to trick the miners into believing otherwise.
That's Bob Deans, Director of Strategic Engagement for the Natural Resources Defense Council. Now, while the majority of scientists agree on man's role in warming the planet, skeptics say money has corrupted the scientific debate, but they differ on its effect. Britain has formally notified Brussels of its intention to leave the European Union, triggering a 2-year period of negotiations over its departure and future relations. Prime Minister Theresa May.
This is an historic moment from which there can be no turning back. Britain is leaving the European Union. We are going to make our own decisions and our own laws. We are going to take control of the things that matter most to us. And we are going to take this opportunity to build a stronger, fairer Britain, a country that our children and grandchildren are proud to call home.
London financiers are concerned Britain's withdrawal from the European single market will put the city's preeminence as the continent's financial hub at risk. Donald Tusk is president of the European Council.
There is no reason to pretend that this is a happy day, neither in Brussels nor in London. After all, most Europeans, including almost half the British voters, wish that we would stay together, not drift apart. As for me, I will not pretend that that I'm happy today.
Well, as Henry Ridgewell reports from London, other European capitals and financial hubs in Asia and America are looking to benefit.
The Channel Tunnel rail link, now 23 years old, once symbolised the bond between Europe and Britain. An appropriate way for London Mayor Sadiq Khan to depart Wednesday from Paris, where he spoke of his regret about the so-called Brexit.
Even though we've chosen to leave the European Union, we're not going to stop being friends, we're not going to stop being allies.
Friends, but also rivals. Paris is among the European cities vying for London's crown as Britain leaves the European Union, a process that could make it much more costly for British businesses to operate in Europe. Mark Yingdell is lead author of the Global Financial Centres Index, a 6-monthly survey of financial services professionals worldwide. In the latest rankings published this week, London retained its top spot, but Brexit uncertainty saw its score tumble.
Some people will move to other more central European destinations, but overall, London isn't... I can't see a massive exodus. London isn't going to suddenly disappear off the face of the earth. I mean, all the big American tier one banks, they're based here.
Yingdell says other European cities will struggle to replicate London's mix of financial infrastructure, human resources and culture. Its closest European rival is Luxembourg in 18th place on the index. Next is Frankfurt in 23rd. It is Germany's economic hub and home of the European Central Bank.
We're ready to start. We've got all the international schools in place. We have enough office space. So I think we're ready. We're pretty sure that a rather large contingent will actually end up moving to Frankfurt.
But Paris claims to have the culture needed to lure professionals away. HSBC, Britain's biggest bank, plans to relocate around 1,000 jobs from London to Paris by 2019.
The difference between Paris and Frankfurt is that Paris, for our clients, is the city of big companies, both French and global, with a lot of activity on the markets.
Ultimately, it is the fast-growing economies in Asia that could benefit.
Singapore in third, and then Hong Kong in fourth, were historically well over 100 points behind London and New York. Singapore is now only 20 points behind.
New York retained second place on the index, but its score fell following uncertainty surrounding the election of US President Donald Trump. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
You're listening to International Edition on VOA.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA. a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, and on my program Jazz America, I carry on the tradition begun decades ago by the great Willis Conover by exploring the wonders of a century of jazz history. I'll cover it all from Dixieland to swing to bebop to modal, free jazz, fusion, world jazz, contemporary, and beyond. Plus, you'll hear the words of the artists themselves as they tell their incredible stories. Join me for Jazz America, Saturdays and Sundays at 13 hours Universal Time, online at voanews.com and the Voice of America.
VOA's International Edition continues now. Well, we've watched the King of Pop, Michael Jackson's children, grow up without him, and it's been a rough road for them, but it sounds like they're starting to come into their own, and we've got an update. Joining me now is Rare.us content editor Nicole Moschella. Hi, Nicole. So it looks like Michael Jackson's kids have been really leaning on each other since they lost their dad.
Yes, Paris and Prince Jackson. Prince is 19, Paris is 18. Over the weekend, they showed off their new tattoos. They got matching yin and yang symbols on the back of their ankles. And they each wrote, like, nice little tributes to each other about how they are each other's balances, and they might be the opposites, but they always bring each other back down to earth and this and that. So they have grown up very close to each other. And actually, Paris has admitted in a recent interview that she has over 50 tattoos, and 9 of them are in tribute to her late father. So she's got a lot of body art, and this is just another piece that means a lot to her in her life.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a lot of tattoos. And then the late Carrie Fisher, of course, she's so beloved here in the U.S. It was such a shock when she died. And then, of course, a day later, her mother, Debbie Reynolds. And a lot was talked about when she passed away about how close she was to her dog, Gary the dog, who even had his own Twitter following. And now I understand there's an update on what's going on with him.
Yes. Shortly after Carrie Fisher died, they thought maybe Billy Lord, Carrie's daughter, would take Gary the dog because he is very close friends with Billy's little French bulldog as well. But it seems like Carrie Fisher's assistant has now taken ownership of the dog. She's adopted Gary because, and they felt like that was the family, Carrie Fisher's family felt like that was the best situation for Gary because he really bonded with her assistant and spent the most time with her. So I think it's happy all around for little Gary. I think he's in a good home, and the assistant is not profiting off of the dog at all. But that would, the assistant just took the dog into a loving home, and she's not profiting off of it or anything. So I'm sure he's very happy in his new place, his new forever home.
Ah, good one. All right, thanks so much, Rare.us content editor Nicole Moschella. Well, in a rare public appearance, First Lady Melania Trump spoke Wednesday at the annual Women of Courage Awards ceremony, honoring women from around the world for acts of courage and leadership. VOA's Jeff Custer reports.
In her remarks, the First Lady recognized the extraordinary qualities of each of the 13 recipients and the battles they have fought for their rights and the rights of others.
Each battle forces, such as governments, the courts, gender bias, terrorism, war, and corruption, and were willing in each moment to face harsh penalties, including imprisonment and death. As they continue to preserve against unimaginable odds, these women are extraordinary examples of reaching within to find the courage that lies inside us all to change the world.
Beginning Saturday, the 13 honorees will travel to cities across the United States to engage with the American people through an international visitor leadership program. Jeff Custer, VOA News, Washington.
Turning now to the latest on what's been trending on social media, we are joined by Andrew Palchewski. Hey, Andrew, what's the word today?
So we've got a story about some new technology and a story about how some old technology is being used in a new way. So, and by
really?
Old technology, I mean something that's been around for about 7 years. But that
what?
Makes it.
What would that be?
Well, that would be Twitter. So
that's old.
It's in the grand scheme of technology, you know, it has such a short shelf life that
right.
even
okay.
7 years can seem old in technology. But the new technology is Samsung today announced their new Galaxy S8 phone and all of the new features that it's going to have, including a new assistant similar to Siri with the iPhone, but it's going to be called Bixby.
Bixby.
And Bixby can not only recognize voice, but also image. So it's going to be audio-visual medium that we're going to have with Bixby assisting.
It would sound like, so the iPhone has Siri, which is female, and it sounds like Bixby maybe is a male.
I think it may be. Yeah, it's and of course they're all, you know, voiced by real people, but end up being in the phone itself, so not an actual person. But they do get their own personas that'll go along with them for sure. Sometimes when people are cursing them out that they can't get them to work properly or what have you. But in any case, this was a big talk on social media today, this big announcement, especially in light of the Samsung Galaxy X7, which of course was a phone that had a lot of issues catching on fire, and they had to recall that phone. So hopefully a new step forward for Samsung, as far as a lot of the Samsung fans are concerned. Others are skeptical about some of the new features, wondering if they're going to be as good as advertised. However, we can find out soon enough. This phone will go on pre-order tomorrow, and you can have it by April 21st. So in just a few weeks from now, you'll actually have it in your hands, and then I'm sure we'll see another spate of social media reaction as people actually play around with the phone and get to see how it actually works.
Well, it's cool that they're not giving you the hint about it and then making you wait for months and months.
Right. It's pretty quick, which is they're trying to, I think, especially in light of that Samsung Galaxy S7 incident, they're trying to get this out as quickly as possible.
Makes sense.
To get some of those negative stories tamped down.
Makes sense. Anything else?
One of the features that they have on Twitter, which is also a few years old, is Twitter Mute. And this was a feature that was designed to allow you to block people that were having hate speech or harassing you. You could kind of mute them, putting in different terms. Well, people have found a new way to use Twitter Mute. And this is ingenious and it's so cool. They are putting in hashtag spoiler and hashtag spoiler alert, so that when you're on Twitter, if you're, say, on the West Coast of the United States and have a delay on your TV programming, you can avoid spoilers by putting on Twitter mute and putting these terms in. So people are using this in a new way to cut down on spoilers, to try to limit when they're going online. Actually, NBC here in the U.S. just announced that for the Olympics in 2018, they're going to be airing it coast-to-coast live. So as it's airing live here in Washington, D.C., it'll be airing live in California across the country. That solves some of these issues with people being on social media. But with other programs, they air it, say, 10 p.m. here on the East Coast and 10 p.m. on the West Coast. Well, 10 p.m. on the West Coast is 3 hours later because of the time zones.
Right.
By that point, you already know what happens if you've logged onto social media. So with social media being so ubiquitous these days, this is one way to get around that and cut down on spoilers. So I thought that was pretty neat. Leave it to social media users to always find a unique way to use these tools to their advantage, and they certainly have here.
All right, Andrew, we always appreciate it. Thanks so much. You can follow him on Twitter at APOW. We also invite you to follow the International Edition stream at VOA_IE. Well, Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, joins International Edition's Sarah Williams with news of the latest release by a singer from Down Under.
The subject today is an Australian singer whose name is Iggy Azalea. Yeah. Now, she is back. She's been away from the scene for a couple of years. In fact, she's got a new album that was supposed to come out last June called Digital Distortion, but she was involved in a very public and very ugly breakup with her then-fiancé, who plays basketball for a professional basketball team in California. He was caught cheating, and it just became an ugly whole scene. So she went into the underground world and disappeared for a while, got her affairs in order, and now she's ready to come back. So she's got a new song, and we're going to check it out today. Here's Iggy Azalea and Mo Bounce.
Mo Bounce, 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 bounce. Bounce in the house. Mo bounce in the house. Bounce.
How did she get that name? It's kind of an interesting name.
Well, that's a great question that you ask. Well, one of her favorite pets combined with the street that she grew up on in Australia, you put them together and she came up with Iggy Azalea. The street name was Azalea, and Iggy was the dog. Her real name is Amethyst Amelia Kelly. Now, there's nothing wrong with Amethyst, but she decided to go with Iggy Azalea. And she's known for her gyrations and her urban style and urban sound. She's kind of carved a niche in the urban format of music. The new video for the new song Mo Bounce was filmed on the streets of Hong Kong, a place that I lived for about 5 years. And so, you know, it's kind of cool watching her go up and down the street singing and dancing. She even does a little twerking. And she's been on songs with Ariana Grande and several other artists over the years. But now she's coming back, and she does promise her fans that this year is the year that the album Digital Distortion will finally come out. And so that with her new single, Mo Bounce, Iggy is back.
Okay, well, best of luck to Iggy Azalea. Thanks very much, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
Bounce like a 6'4", 6'4", slick talk, spitting that Crisco, drop that like a cholo at the dub show. Then you hit the switch and pick it up and let the world know. Homie, if you broke, oh, no, you don't deserve. So these fake bowlers only getting on my nerves, though. I just cracked the 40 now, sipping out the straw slow. Little bit of ratchet, little bougie, you should all know. Everybody got opinions, yeah, like you ain't gotta worry about those, cause they, we just came to party.
I'm James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa. Join me every weekday mornings at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of the show through our listeners' mail segment. Just send your views to daybreakafrica@voanews.com or call us on 202-205-9942. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
You've been listening to International Edition. That does it for today's show, but you can find us anytime at voanews.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Jimmy Cook. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States strongly condemns the detention of hundreds of peaceful protesters throughout Russia on March 26th. The detention of protesters, including human rights observers and journalists, is an affront to core democratic values, said Acting State Department spokesperson Mark Toner in a written statement. Human rights activist and anti-corruption crusader Alexei Navalny called on people to peacefully protest after publishing a report that alleges that Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev has a portfolio of assets, including huge pieces of land in the most sought-after regions, yachts, apartments in old mansions, agricultural complexes, and wineries in Russia and abroad. Navalny's report claims this was all purchased through bribes from oligarchs and state bank loans. Mr. Navalny was ordered jailed by Russian authorities for 15 days and fined $350 after being convicted of organizing the march and disturbing public peace. He was among more than 1,000 people taken into custody after police and protesters clashed around Moscow's centrally located Alexander Pushkin Square. Mr. Navalny's Moscow office, the Anti-Corruption Foundation, was ransacked by Russian police, who took away computers and other equipment, according to his press secretary, Kira Yarmish. A lawyer for the foundation said 13 employees had been detained. Mr. Toner said the United States was troubled to hear of the arrest of opposition figure Alexei Navalny upon arrival at the demonstration, as well as the police raids on the anti-corruption organization he heads. The rallies appear to be the largest coordinated protests in Russia since the street protests that broke out in 2011 and 2012 after a parliamentary election that opposition leaders condemned as fraudulent. The United States, said Mr. Toner, calls on the government of Russia to immediately release all peaceful protesters. The Russian people, like people everywhere, deserve a government that supports an open marketplace of ideas, transparent and accountable governance, equal treatment under the law, and the ability to exercise their rights without fear of retribution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
It's 4 hours.